Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
It's National School Nurse Day. What does one local school nurse do, and why does she do it? Let's go in depth with Knoxville school nurse Angie Mitchell. So Angie, what made you decide to be a nurse?
I decided when I was very young. My kindergarten teacher, Mrs. Taylor, asked us a question when we were in kindergarten, what would we like to be when we grew up? And I, for some reason, decided I would be a nurse. Both my parents are teachers, and so I think it's interesting that I've come around to being a nurse in the school setting. So I'm one of those few people that decided early and stuck with it, and coming up on my 29th year of being a nurse.
So was that teacher influential in other ways, too? It sounds like you remember her well.
Oh, I do, because she was so fantastic. I remember making applesauce and apple butter and churning butter in a churn and doing lessons with her, and she was just a fantastic teacher. And I think one of the great things about nursing, at least in my career, is that there are so many different things you can do with nursing as your life changes, as your family changes, as your location changes. There's a lot of opportunities of things you can do in nursing. And the thing that I love about school nursing is the contact with the kids, and then providing education that's health related in tying that into the school setting.
So it's not you're just sitting there putting Band-Aids on kids in your office.
No, that's certainly some of it. For injuries, kids that get hurt on the playground, or they've had an accident before school or during the day and they come down to the health offices, and we certainly do that as well. But I think maybe something people would be surprised are the number of kids who are in school with seizures and diabetes and heart conditions and chronic illnesses, or have a short-term injury where maybe they've broken a leg and they're in a wheelchair, and how are they going to navigate for the next 6 to 9 months? Or they're coming back to school after a concussion or mental health needs. We especially see that in middle school and high school students, that maybe it's not so much the physical, but it's stress and it's mental health concerns. So we have those immediate needs of kids who are ill that need to go home or have had an injury, but we also have kids that have chronic conditions that we want to make sure they stay healthy and their conditions they can manage in the school setting so they can be in school.
Wow, it just seems like my memories of a school nurse and responsibilities and the aid and care they gave us, it's just like now it's just blown up huge. A lot of the things we had back in the day, that wasn't the responsibility of the school nurses. And so I presume there's lots of additional training that goes on with that, continuing education, learning.
Nurses are required to have 45 hours of continuing education every 3 years to maintain their license. And the requirement for Iowa school nurses is that you have an RN degree and preferably a four-year degree. And that's because of the assessment that has to go on. And I think if I had gone into school nursing right out of college, I wouldn't be a very effective school nurse. I think my life experience, I spent the first 10 years working at Mayo Medical Center in Rochester, and I worked cardiac surgical ICU. So very intense, very skills oriented, a lot of really sick cardiac needs. And then I worked mother baby level 2 care at Methodist Hospital. So brand new babies, babies that are very small and preemie. And then I worked in a doctor's office, and I also had some ambulance experience. And then being a mom of 3 kids, you see those rashes and those things that moms and dads see with their own kids. So those things, I think, all wrapped up, give me that background to be able to come into a school setting and have some background knowledge of what might be going on. And especially for the complex kids that we have in our district, it gives me some knowledge of how doctor's offices work and how to make those relationships work and how to work with parents in keeping their kids safe and cared for while they're away from home. And it's awesome to work with the parents who trust us enough to have children in the district that have complex needs, or even kind of those intermediate needs, whether it's managing asthma and knowing that someone's there that's going to care for their child and watch out for them. The teachers do a fantastic job. The secretaries do a fantastic job in really watching out and making sure kids stay safe while they're at school.
wow, that background that you have in education and experience is very impressive. And I guess the only word I can use to fully describe it is like priceless, what you bring to bear.
I think so. And how I got into school nursing, we had moved to a small town in northwest Iowa, and the principal at the building said, oh, our nurse just quit. Could you come up and pass the fluoride for the kids? And I had no idea what he was talking about. I was staying at home with my kids at the time, and I went up 4 hours a day, two different days, and passed the fluoride to the kids. I knew nothing about school nursing, had no idea what care plans were or what emergency plans were or EpiPens or food allergies, any of that. And so it was kind of a trial by fire. And what I found is it's a great opportunity. I love working with the kids. And I tell people frequently that I have the best job in the district. I get to work with the kids and have that time to provide education for them, their families, the staff. And it's a wonderful opportunity.
Is most of the education one-on-one?
A lot of it is. When kids come in, just going through, give me some background, what happened, do you have any of these other symptoms, calling and visiting with parents, giving them kind of my insight. But I do have the opportunity to get every once in a while, not as much as I would like, to go to the high school. I helped Mr. Gibbons work on blood pressures with his students, or getting in to review a panel on a debate on tanning, the pros and cons of tanning, and getting into the elementary levels when I can to provide some classroom instruction, whether it's on hygiene or hand washing or staying healthy, providing education in the form of bulletin boards or different walks teachers can take their kids on through the building to work at little stations and find out some health tips for the littlest kids. And those are the most fun when you get into the classroom. So whether it's one-on-one or with a group, those are the best.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Angie Mitchell, Knoxville school nurse. Well, you have to be able to relate to and talk to the kids, everything from kindergarten all the way up to high school seniors. And so you have to know how to, at what level to relate to them. Does that come just natural to you, or did that take some training?
I think that's always something that you can get better at. But I think, like a lot of really good teachers, just kind of have that knack to be able to relate to their kids. I think having my kids grown now certainly has helped me understand the difference between those middle school kids and the preschool kids and the high school kids in addressing questions to them and just being honest. And I think that's what all kids want, is just someone who's going to treat them respectfully and treat their condition, you know, confidentially. And then also just being direct and asking them their perspective of how things are going.
Do the kids even have the right vocabulary? I mean, some of the seniors don't even have the right vocabulary for some things. Is that right?
Yes. And so a lot of that is a lot of good question asking. So clarifying that. Tell me about that. Have you, even the question of, did you eat lunch? Yes. Well, they may be meaning I went to lunch, which is a totally different thing than what did you actually eat. We're trying to get at, are you having a headache and an upset stomach because you're hungry? Or did you eat something? Did you not eat? And so asking good questions to really get at what they're telling you. And little kids, especially the younger ones, trying to get at what is a headache. That often is not in their vocabulary. So understanding when they say, I don't feel good, pointing, showing, and then having them describe. So the pain that you have, if it hurts, is it stabbing? Is it squeezing? Is it pressure? Is it an ache? Is it all over? Is it one spot? Does it come and go? It's a lot of question asking to just get at my head hurts or my stomach hurts.
And then you can make the diagnosis once you have the right information.
And nurses don't diagnose, but nurses are able then to go on and treat. Do you need to lay here and rest a little bit? Do you need a snack? Do you need to, do we need to call mom and dad that you need to go home? Do you need more time? Is there some medication that you have that we need to give you to help you feel better? And sometimes it's kind of that tough love of, you don't have a fever. You don't have anything that is really, you know, showing us that you're ill today. I believe you don't feel well. And I know there are a lot of those days where other stuff is going on that maybe we can get you through the day, and why don't you check back at lunchtime and another little pep talk, and maybe we can get you through to the end of the day so that you're in school. And that's what we want. We want kids to be in school when they are able to be, and we want to make sure that kids who are ill stay home if they shouldn't be in school.
Well, how do you divide your time? You have two elementary schools, a middle school, and a high school to cover.
I do. I've got over 1,700 kids in the district, and there's one nurse, which doesn't quite meet the ratio that we would like to see at the national level. But I'm very blessed to have two health associates, one almost full-time at West and one almost full-time at North Star. So my day, I typically start at West Elementary, which are the littlest kids, and I stay there till about 9 o'clock and do the morning meds and morning check-in routines with a lot of the kids there. And then my health associate, Erin, comes in at 9 o'clock. Then I go to the high school for an hour and a half or 2 hours, and I see any kids at the high school. Then I go to the middle school, and I'm there from about 10:30 till about 1:30 or 2 o'clock and do meds and see students there and make my rounds. And then I finish my day at North Star Elementary from about 1:30 or 2 o'clock until the end of the day at 3:30. And Miss Tina is at that building for almost, you know, the full day. So without those two and without the secretaries, my job would about be impossible because of getting around to each building. And then, of course, I go wherever they call me. So I've got a cell phone, and if a kiddo needs to be seen, then I stop what I'm doing and I go to that building and come back. And so it's a lot of driving around town, but I like to be able to get my hands on all the kids at all the buildings every day. That kind of keeps me in the know of what's going on.
Ideally, you'd be at every school at the start of day.
Right? Oh, and be at one building all day. Yeah. But everybody's really flexible. The teachers are very accommodating, and the secretaries and administrators to accommodate what I need. If I say I have to be at this building today for these needs, people pitch in and they help. So they keep me informed.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Angie Mitchell, Knoxville school nurse. Now, for the older kids, I presume that sometimes that your interactions are confidential,
mm-hmm.
and that you have to have their trust,
mm-hmm.
and that they say things sometimes that their parents might not like to hear, I mm-hmm. presume. That's quite a responsibility.
It is, and I think that is something when you ask about skills that can be taught with relating to kids, but I think that component of confidentiality, it's kind of like lying. Either you do or you don't. And confidentiality is one of those things that either you respect it and you guard those things that kids tell you, and you don't go home and tell your spouse or your kids or your friends of, oh, this really interesting thing that happened. So a lot of times you have those things that are only for yourself. Now, schools are covered by FERPA, meaning that if there's something that's going on with a student that would be high risk that the counselor needs to know, then we have the ability to share that confidentially. We don't go and tell somebody who is not their teacher, who doesn't know them, who doesn't have a need to know, but we make sure that the student is safe. I think a lot of times in dealing with those older students, they know they need to tell their parent about whatever the issue is, or their concern, or their guardian, or whoever they're living with. And given the support and the reassurance that, yeah, your parent might be upset, or your guardian, but we'll get through it. And if that's pulling in a trusted administrator or a trusted teacher, along with myself and the counselor, then we want to help that student be able to share whatever the issue is with their parent or their guardian, because that's where other decisions can be made to go forth, whether it's a medical concern or a mental health concern or a physical issue. We want to make sure that the kids are safe. So confidentiality is huge, and we try to respect that.
Well, if you don't, then all of a sudden your credibility across the whole school is gone,
right,
amongst the kids.
Right.
The kids will be talking, don't go to her.
Yep.
Yeah. And that would be tragic.
Oh, it would be. It would be. And I think another thing is the contact with teachers and parents. So the school nurse being there primarily for caring for the students, but also for the staff. So I do have a fair number of staff that'll come in and shut the door, and whether it's just they need to run something by me about their physical health or their mental health, or an issue with a student, and we can have those conversations, and they know that's not going to go any other place. So school nurses are also providing information for the students and the faculty and the staff, as well as parents, and being that sometimes that connection to finding information that they might not know is out there. So making those connections back to public health or Knoxville Hospital Clinic or Pella Regional or wherever we can make the connection, in providing that information to families in a confidential way to make sure that they get beyond just me at the school.
Because sometimes they need help beyond the school.
Absolutely.
It's nothing you can give an aspirin for.
No. And we're there to kind of provide emergent care if we need it, but we're not an ER. And I'm so thankful for the ambulance squad that has come out numerous times over the last couple of years to help out. And they're so kind, and they're so helpful and so reassuring. And there's only so much we can do at the school there. And then it really comes back to the parent to follow up.
On any given day, how many students do you think that you're going to be interacting with in either a direct or an indirect way, like maybe dispensing medications, you having to be watching out for an allergy, or that different kids are on your mind every day? I mean, I'm sure that some of them you think of sort of like as active or semi-active cases, and the others you just only worry about when they, you know, say, hey, I've got a problem. How many are you thinking about every day?
I'm glad you asked that, because every day that's something I check. Our documentation system allows us to go through and see how many students we see every day. We know at West Elementary that on our roster every day we've got 25 kids that are coming in for meds or different kinds of checks or follow-up. So we know before we start our day we've got 25 visits there. Same at North Star, we know how many meds we have, and at the middle school. But on a very busy day, between all four buildings district-wide, we would log 120 visits. So that's a lot of kids, and that probably is not all of them that maybe just are independent and ask the secretary, I just need a Band-Aid, or I need, you know, something real quick. They might not be logged into our system, but a light day would be 75 to 80 office visits, and busy days are 110 to 120. So we're seeing a lot of kids come through those offices.
Give me your best day. What was your best day ever? The one that keeps coming back to you where something happened and you knew that you really made a difference.
Well, and that probably would be a day that I can't talk about on the air. I think being there for students, being there to take care of immediate needs, being the eyes that the parents come to depend on because they're not there. You're calling them on the phone saying, we're having an issue and we would like you to come. Your child's okay. We're with them. This is what we're doing. And knowing that, feeling that anxiety of the parent who's coming in an emergent rush, whether it's a child who's broken a bone or having a breathing problem or having a chronic health problem, those to me are the most rewarding, is that we've kept the child safe, that we've reassured the parent. Because as the parent, this is your child and you just want to get there and get your hands on them. And you're trying to come from a distance to do that. And I appreciate the trust that parents trust us to keep their children safe and provide care for them when they can't be there. So those are the most rewarding days for me, are the ones where you can see you've really made a difference. And the others are the fun ones where kids come down, you know, their nurse note says they have a sore belly button or their tongue hurts or, you know, their chin hurts, and you don't know why. And those just make you smile and laugh, and you get a chance to visit with the kids and kind of see what's going on. So the biggest days are the days you know you've made a crucial difference in keeping that child safe and then getting them to their parent to get where they need to go for follow-up care. Those are pretty good days.
Thanks to Angie Mitchell for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.